but they probably don't know it. It's all level. It's different levels. There's people in the building, like Lisa, for example.
Welcome back. So we are going to be talking about a lot of things that, frankly, have been kind of forgotten on RBN, but it's important because people actually need this information. And one of them is about the ET UFO presence worldwide. I mean, it's like unmistakable. And is it coming from Area 54? You know, I mean, obviously our military is, you know, and even stuff in Antarctica, there's all kinds of stuff going on, and there's all kinds of craft, and are these craft earth-based, or are they, and we just don't know about these types of crafts, the triangular crafts and things like that, or are they really off-planet? So I kind of wanted, you know, a lot of people like that information, and I thought maybe we would talk about the what you call the Nuremberg 3.0 kit that you put together, and why people are going to be using that more and more.
All right. So we could also, if at some point you want to talk about some of the UFO presence, I have them right in my backyard right now, and you know about it because it's been on some of the positive news I put out. That's something else we could talk about because I'm seeing them every night. I went out and saw them last night, and they were swinging coming right over me.
Yep.
So there is...
It's blatant now. I mean, many people, yeah. I mean, we have someone in the chat room that's seeing that kind of thing, too.
Okay, so it is getting more common, and these are not drones. They're piloted craft, and they are defending our country. They're right over I-5, one of them, and then there's a couple of them that are right suspiciously near our building. So with myself in this building and one other well-known person who Ingrid knows and some of you probably heard of, she lives down the hall from me. So they know we're here. I think they've had operatives in the positive operatives in the building in the guise of work persons who came in, and I think they reported back, and then we started seeing, and of course this other person won't look up in the sky, but I do, and nobody else in the building will, but my friend here who's with me, I'm here sitting, he has come out and he can attest, he's a witness, and there's been a couple of other witnesses, they're there. And Ingrid, if she was reading that article on the positive news, we got pictures of it.
Yep.
It was at the time of the moon.
Right.
All right.
No, I mean it's exciting. I mean, there's definitely stuff going on right now, and you know, it's not UFOs. They're not unidentified flying objects. We've been able to identify many of them. that's the whole
because
thing.
Because these are definitely TRB-3s, the flying triangles, because we got a picture, one of the pictures two weeks ago actually showed the rounded, cornered, triangular shape. It was very unmistakable. And they're signaling back, white and blue, when I put a mile-high high-beam flashlight up in the air and signal them with the sign of the cross saying, bless you, and they're signaling red, white, and blue. And they power up just like they do with a SETI. So these are definitely manned craft, and there's probably guys in them, and they know who I am. They probably have advanced technical infrared and so forth, and they probably have seen me out in the parking lot. They probably can see me close up. They know who I am. So they're friendly, and they like interacting. So but that said, Fort Lewis McChord is right nearby, and there's probably a contingent of the U.S. Space Force there at McChord Air Force Base. So to me, it's kind of down to earth. It's really not that mystical or anything. These advanced craft exist. They're re-engineered from alien craft. And you heard me read the second or third item that I just read from the positive news is NASA now has an A-team of scientists at both academic, engineering, defense contractors, and they're all investigating the UFO phenomena, and they're going to be more public about it.
Right.
And then in August, late August, they actually, the congressional committee, it was kind of secretive because they put it inside a report, but it was there, and they said there definitely are craft that are not of this earth. They actually
right.
said
I'm just,
it.
So you know, when you mentioned they, I think a lot of people think NASA is totally bogus because there's so much, you know, garbage that they've been doing. You know, they haven't been able to do a lot of stuff with 3D technology. They have to move over to another type of technology to even leave our planet's biosphere, you know?
Right, I know, but it's still interesting that they're going public with it and they're acting like they're taking it seriously, which hasn't happened before.
Right.
They may be doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. If they're dark hats or gray hats, I think they're gray hats. But anyway, I don't care. At least it's getting out there that there's a
right.
possibility that this exists, and it's not. And they're taking it. They're pretending to taking it seriously, which they've never done before.
Well, yeah, but they've also started pumping up in the media and the movies the scary threat of some really scary aliens trying to take over the planet. Which
I understand that, but Ingrid, with all the counter information that's coming out, I don't think it'll work. It's not going to work.
Okay. Good.
And I saw, I couldn't put it in, I didn't have enough room in the positive news today, but something like, I don't know, overwhelming, 60%, 57% of the American public knows that UFOs are real. They accept them as real, and they don't always, and they broke it down, and not all, a large percentage believe that they're mixed, they're benevolent, and they're malevolent. They don't. They understand it's a complex situation, and they're not all good, and they're not all bad. So the American public has gotten more sophisticated in the last decade or so, I think.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
So do you want to go to the NL, or do you want to keep on?
I think that's really important. I mean, you spent years, frankly, developing these tools and giving instructions and a template for everyone to be able to use, and I think that's important that you
right.
talk about that.
All right, so I'm trying to keep it short, but the short story on this is I kept noticing all these, I call them common law gurus, and most of them are male, and they've got big egos, and only they know how to do it, nobody else does, and everybody else is inferior, and whenever I hear that, I know there's a problem with the person, but anyway, I gleaned as much as I could from each of them, and I did do the court case, which was an actual court case, Campbell versus the United States, which Ingrid knows about, to stop the H1N1 pandemic. And plandemic is my word. I devised the word plandemic for that case. I also coined medical martial law in that case. But the case mm-hmm. was suppressed. You never heard about the case. But I think it had something to do with ending it. And you don't get mm-hmm. credit for things like this. You never heard of or anything. But the people in Europe asked me to do it. I did it at the request of the Worldwide Health Freedom Movement. And I think it did ultimately help stop it. And it was a constitutional case. Then I found out right after that, and I suspected it, but I found more information. Others came to me, and they showed me we've been under a state of emergency since the Civil War, and the courts don't function. The Constitution has been dormant. It's not dead, but it's been dormant since Lincoln declared an early form of martial law called the Lieber Code at the start of the Civil War, and it had never been rescinded after his assassination. All right, that's a key fact. So I kept looking at all these things of how they were using the common law. There was the One People's Public Trust, and I knew the guy because he wanted me to work with me on the case, and then something happened with that, and he never did. But his protege came out with the One People's Public Trust, and that went worldwide, and it woke a lot of people up that were dealing with governments posing, or government corporations posing as real governments. They're all corporations. And then you've got the commercial corporations that are blatantly corporations, but they're through the banking cartel, they'll link directly to the corporations masquerading as governments. So all these government corporations, and I put out a famous piece, but nobody knows who did it, called Hard Evidence of Corporate Takeover at All Levels of the U.S. UN Governments. And I gave Dun & Bradstreet corporate numerical codes for all of the agencies, the U.S. government itself, and all the sub-agencies of the U.S. government that are sub-corporations of that, and they all have private for-profit Dun & Bradstreet numbers. Then I went to the states. Every single state of the United States has a Dun & Bradstreet corporate code number, and every major city. I didn't want to do every city in every state, obviously, but the main city in each state I went, and I got the corporate code numbers. So I got several hundred corporate code numbers, private for profit, not non-profit. It was profit. And it proved that the whole government of all the nations of the world, all the governance, have been taken over by the global banking cartel. All right, mm-hmm. So if you know that, you know it has to be more systemic than people going in, and this is what I kept seeing, although the One People's Public Trust was trying to make it systemic. I'll get to that in a second. But what I usually saw was these male gurus trying to teach all these patriots to go into the courtroom and take over the courtroom, and the judge will run out of the room at some point, maybe. But if they don't, you might be in trouble, and you might end up in jail if you don't do it right, actually. And what you need to do is you're doing this for the right to travel, to prove you don't need a driver's license, or to prove the IRS and all that. And that's okay. I mean, that's great, but it's like doing parlor tricks when you need big magic. And then this woman right. who was the protege of this other person, I kept listening to her speak, and she did an original document that supposedly dechartered all these corporations. And I think she had the right idea, but I don't think she totally did it. And then, at first she was talking more down to earth, and you could get what she was saying. And then she got into this whole speak, because it was all metaphysical, and people were calling in about their mortgages and their house being taken away unjustly, and their land and their kids being taken away by the CPS and all this. And she kept talking this gobbledygook on this metaphysical level. And the people were just going away, upset because they weren't getting any answers. So a couple people that were in the movement that I heard also speak were actual merchant marines in another country. It was a father and son. So I got behind the scenes in touch with them, and I said, you guys are speaking sense. And you get practical ways, I think, of using all these facts that I just mentioned about all the corporate structures. And if we use that right and make it systemic, not just these parlor tricks that they're playing in the courts with travel and all this, we could make it systemic, and the people could use this as a huge tool as a workaround until we can get the courts operating again. And it will be a mostly out-of-court operation where you're actually taking these implied contracts, which they use constantly. These are adhesion or implied contracts that they assume that they're going to put on you and you're not going to say anything or you won't know about. And then, let's say the smart meters or the vaccinations, they're assuming you're going to do it. And so if you don't speak up and as a sovereign being and state, no, I do not consent, and you be explicit about it, and better yet in writing, they're going to do it. They're going to assume, and they know you don't want it, but they're going to act like you do, and that's their trick that they use all the time. So what you have to do is effectively say, I do not consent. So I wrote the earlier form of the NL, and it used a lot of these statements and facts, and I put it links in as evidence, and it stated, as a sovereign being, I do not consent, and you've done this and this and this, and you're going to be financially and legally liable as a person, not just as an official, but in your financial and legal and criminal in those ways at the personal and official levels. And that's a pretty devastating statement, the word liability. And they don't care when people send in all these petitions, oh, woe is me, they killed my child, whatever. These people, many of them, not all of them, they're Satanists. They're psychopaths, and they do not care. In fact, they get off on this. But if you go after them saying, we're going to take your money and power away by reversing the contracts that you've implied and put on us and putting it right back in your faces in a very effective manner, that gets their attention. And so I met a certain person that Ingrid knows who it is. I don't want to divide the movement any more than there's already. It's already all these movements, the truth movement, whatever. It's the vaccine movement. There's all these controlled opposition agents that come in. And the group at first was, I think, honest. And the person who headed it was honest. And then I'm just going to say my belief. They had a covert esoteric cult the board was in. And one person was supposed to be the oracle, but they didn't tell the membership on this. A couple of us, of my friends, one of which is present, knows about all this. And anyway, they became more controlled opposition because they never got anything out. They kept saying there was a certain type of computer program that needed to you know, specify for the whatever nation of the world you were doing the action. And they kept making excuses for like 3 or 4 years why they never got it out. And then they tried to use the NL on volunteers with a corporate contract with a non-disclosure agreement. And I helped construct this. This guy was getting all the credit for it, who founded this, and I wasn't getting any credit, which I didn't care about, but I knew that that was a perversion of what this powerful NL process can do. And so I led the revolt, me and this one woman over in Europe. And I said, you were putting this on, you're levying this on innocent parties, and this is unlawful, and it is unethical, and it does not follow Christ's teachings that you claim to follow. And so I do not consent, and there are others here that have spoken, and you've taken, you instead of having roadside chapels all over the world in true worship of the Creator, you're worshiping a Tower of Babel and a document creator, this computer. And I'm not going to be here anymore because you're doing that. Okay, so I left, and they tried to talk to me about it and all this. And finally, one of the key people on the board did talk to me, and they admitted there was a cult, and this woman was calling the shots for the past 4 years, praying over everything in this nonsense. And I'm not saying prayer is nonsense, but I'm saying the way what this woman was doing was, and the fact that they weren't transparent about it, that should tell you. So I ended up, and they didn't support anything I did to help people when they wouldn't get the stuff out. So anyway, this is an organization that could have helped the world, and finally they did get their very rigid NLs out, supposedly. I don't think several of us went back to find out. I really don't care. Instead, a tiny team of me and two others, and maybe a few others helping from the side, we put together a packet, and they put a paywall on theirs. You have to pay to be a member, and then you never get anything for it. At least you didn't in the past. There are certain people that are around the show that know this. So we decided to follow Jesus's that which is freely given, freely give, and this is free. And we put it out, and we tried to get it out like twice last year, and there's an AI program that they're trying to block it in every way they can, and there's different ways. Google blocked it, and I won't even get into it, but my friend here is IT, and he knows, I've got witnesses that this was what was happening. They even have an advanced autocomplete program that if we program things, proofread things, and we actually get it perfect and correct and get ready to, you know, put it where it needs to be for people to access it. When people access it, this AI autocomplete, which helpfully, you know, changes things, it'll take it right back to the original error. And then everybody was, including the leader of this group that I was telling you about, he was saying that our work was sloppy. And yet he knew the same thing had happened to him. So they have done everything possible to suppress this. They have to be extremely frightened.
Well, let's move on. You know, Rebecca, we should probably move on because
we can talk about it later.
Well, I posted the link that you gave me to where these templates are and that you're in the process of updating the templates. So, and that's important to me, you know, that we need to, you know, divorce ourselves from any kind of you know, top-heavy, you know, groups. We need to all be working together and be able to have that open communication. You know, we've had this parasitical paradigm, and we certainly need to replace that. You know, something.
I think and what we're doing, Ingrid, is to deal with that is networks. I think flexible networks that are equal, and there might be certain people who are like first among equals because they know the process better. But they're there to make them. I'm there to make myself dispensable. I'm not there to become a guru.
Well, that's part of the new energy. But yeah, we don't need to, you know, put anyone down at this point because we're moving forward. We have so much positive things going on, and there are some really wonderful networking things happening in individual communities. So, I know here this is there's good stuff. Things are being exposed. People are networking much better than they ever have before, and just working with what is, because, you know, not everybody does have the time, and there's a lot of sick people now. A lot of people have died. How many have died in this country alone? I mean, it's been, I've heard 2 million, but anyway, we have a commercial break, so.
I don't really know, because Jimmy.
Yep, that's right. Well, we can pick up where we leave off at the next, after this commercial break.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. SusannaSecret.com.
Short segment here, and did you want to go ahead and share? I mean, I thought it was over 2 million people that they're estimating died in just this country alone from the shots. But,
right,
I mean,
but
a lot of it, yeah.
It's coming out the level at which the figures have been distorted and hidden.
Yeah, and it's not just the shots. I mean, they were treated. Anyone that got sick was treated with remdesivir and all kinds of things that actually led to their death. You know, these. So it's pretty shocking when you look at the numbers. But anyway, this is why, you know, we need to hold these people accountable. And so, you want to share with some stories before this group ever appeared. You started doing the notice of liability process.
All right, here's what happened. We did team up, even though this group hadn't been formed yet that I was referring, but the founder of the group knew a key activist that I think a lot of people here have heard of. I don't want to name names because I said I don't want to make it divisive. But anyway, and that person did an excellent film that deals with some of the issues that I've mentioned. But anyway, it's a classic, as a matter of fact. But anyway, that person was in the Seattle area, and he knew this guy that founded this other organization or ended up doing that. And this... So anyway, the guy who founded the organization agreed to work with us, and we were going to do a pilot, a beta test of the NL. So we would meet at this restaurant. It was really great. We had community because we had the, you know, the food element, and we developed a really tight group. And then he would Skype in, and there were like 21 of us, and my late partner John was part of it just before his death, and he was very proud that he did it. And we were the first people in the world to do it. So we tried all these different tests, and we tweak it, and then we talked to him. And he came to every meeting via Skype, and he would stay for about 2 hours. So it obviously meant a lot to him, too, and to test it. And then he told some other key people, and it got a little bigger, and it still started to be suppressed, but nobody realized the power of it. Okay, so in mid-August of 2014, we had a signing session with several notaries public, one of whom was one of the signatories of the NL, and it dealt with the smart meters. They were going to impose smart meters on the city of all people as a mandate on the city of Seattle, with Seattle City Light. So we said, over our dead bodies, and the founder of this organization wrote an NL, and where it differed from mine and actually had more power, was a stroke of genius, was he had an attached contract to it that was a counter contract, a mirror, that put it back in their faces. Like the basic attitude in the accompanying contract attached to the NL is that we're saying, oh, you want to Wi-Fi us with your smart meters? Wow, that's really great. But the problem is, it's going to cost you. So if you're going to insist on Wi-Fi-ing us, me and my family, I'm putting down, you're going to be liable in your official and personal capacities and on all levels, criminal, financial, etc., and you're going to pay this amount of money. So if you pursue it, you're going to be liable for all this. Your choice. And it has kind of a breezy, breezily defiant feeling to it, and it's extremely well written. We use the King James 1611 Bible version because it has alchemical power that the Satanists do not like. They do spells. Well, the 1611 was at the time of John Dee, who was a master metaphysician at the court of Elizabeth I and James the I, her successor. So this is it's very powerfully written. And then it's got the contract, and it's all alchemical because the scriptures appropriately are quoted all the way through it, and we served this after the notaries put their seal on it. 21 of us served all of the we call them libelees, but it means defendants, similar to the courts. We served it on the recipients, or that another term is the recipients, and it was the entire Seattle City Council, the mayor, the city attorney, the head of Seattle City Light, all the parties that were responsible for imposing this on the people of Seattle without their consent. All right, so nothing seemed to happen except they kept saying, in their statements, this weird group of people served this totally invalid legal notice, you know, gobbledygook on us, and they kept saying this, and we'd go to the council meetings, and this was written up in some major places like Activist Post, for example, because I published some things there about it. And then what was interesting was in January, and keep in mind this was mid-August, in mid-January, and Seattle had 9 council members. They're all socialists or bordering on it. And there's a couple famous socialists. One of them's of Indian descent, celebrity socialist you might have heard of. Anyway, all those people were served. And the entire council was the best paid council in the United States. They earned like $125,000 a year apiece. Plus, all of the ones that were eligible for election or had to come up for election were all incumbents who had major war chests on top of their salaries. So they were well positioned to win the election. All right. All of a sudden, in mid-January, and that was several months after we did got served with the NL, 3 of them, and they were all incumbents, suddenly decided they weren't running again. They essentially they used that as kind of a passive resignation from the Seattle City Council, even though they were incumbents, they were wealthy, and they had major war chests, and they suddenly quit. All right? And then, a month later, the head of the CEO of Seattle City Light quit. He resigned. And then the mayor resigned a little while later. Now, I'll have to say with that mayor, he was also caught being a pedophile. So he had some other problems, and the NL probably was not the only reason he resigned, but it probably had something to do with it, just like it did with the others. And then a year later, his successor, who was a friend of his from Austin, Texas.
Okay. Rebecca, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask, so, you know, we've talked about bonds for the win, you know, like all these public servants have bonds, and I know at the
end of
the day, you bypass that.
Ingrid, could I just finish what I was saying, though? Could I just, you
know, I know, but people are thinking in their heads. I mean, if you don't ever pause, then I can't, you know, interject and, you know, have you comment on certain things that people are thinking
all right.
about.
Okay, so I'm just going to finish this quickly, and then I'll go on to bonds for the win and how it relates to the NL. Okay, so anyway, my point is, we didn't stop it because it was only 20 people, and then it got to 18 because John, my partner, and another person died. But keep in mind, we had 21 people to start in a city of area of 2 million people, and we kept this alive for several years, and we stopped the process. They were going to have this in by 2014, or at the end of 2014 or early 2015. They weren't able to start the smart meters for 2.5 years. We delayed it that long. Okay, so that was the beta test. And then 70 people using the process about a year or two later, there were 70 of them in one of the most corrupt states of the country, Pennsylvania. There were 70 people who worked with me and some of the other people from this group, and they all kept their analog meters. Not one had to get a smart meter when they used the NL process. So that's the power this thing has. And what you get, you don't get like a court case with all the drama and somebody in a white black rover hands you a document and all this stuff. What you get is results where the offense. The systemic offense, where they're going after you or to hurt you, it just stops. It just disappears, and all the people who perpetrated it disappears. They disappear. Uh-huh. So that's all I wanted to say, and then we can go on to the bonds for the win. All right, so bonds for the win. So after I got more was known about the NL process, and also, keep in mind, I left this organization because they were becoming controlled opposition and a cult. So I went ahead, and with this tiny team, they helped me. We got this free do-it-yourself NL kit, and we put it out on Constitution Day of last year, which is appropriate. And then we did an iteration in January of the fall, you know, this year. And then we're going to do a third one because some things have changed. So the bonds. So what we're talking about with the original NL, I would call a long form NL. Bonds for the Win, and patriots who heard about it, wanted to simplify the process, so they decided to do things like go after their bonds, which is a part, an implied part of the NL process, but they wanted to make it shorter and simpler and just go for the bonds. And they actually did this at the Washington State Capitol in late last year. And there was some results from that, and I'm trying to remember what it was. I'm dealing with so much right now. There were some things, and one woman ran for representative. I don't think she won. But anyway, it had some effect, and some things did happen as a result of that. And 36,000 people signed both the one dealing with the medical martial law, and the other went with the election corruption. And it did have some major results. And that was more of a short form NL with affidavits. So affidavits, when you get them in huge numbers like that, or bonds, where you have a bunch of people, huge numbers, going after the bond. Do you have a bond as an official bond? If you don't, you're not a valid elected official. So there's a lot of different ways you can do this, and these are short forms of the long form NL that I was just telling you about.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's a lot, you know, to choose. So I you're going to be updating that web link with updating the NOL. Is that right?
Yes. And okay. I'm tied down for a week or so because there's things I absolutely have to do in my life and I can't get out of it. But as soon as I'm free of that, it shouldn't be that difficult to do. And then we've got some other strategies for getting it out, you know, to make it. And there's more groups that we already know of since we last got it out. that I think are going to be really interested in this and want to do it, especially where we're at in this undeclared war. And it
right.
doesn't use the court.
Right, I understand that. So the thing is we're going to have to, you know, we're in for a rude awakening at the end of this year, and it seems like we need to be prepared to rebuild our country. Do you have any suggestions?
People, I mean, it's obvious, and I'm sure you've repeated this with, you know, whistle and dance it with a lot of different, you know, versions and iterations. People have to wake up. People have to be willing to stand up. People have to be willing to bring it down to earth in their everyday lives and start saying, I do not consent. You don't wear masks. You don't, and one of my favorites is the TSA. You don't go to the airports if you have to go through the TSA. We need to start shutting things down. If they keep insisting that the vaccines, for example, which I referenced in the positive news, if they keep insisting on putting it on the vaccine schedule, and then you have these witless boards or school boards mandating it for the schools, or corrupt, witless or corrupt, then you take your kids out of the schools. You refuse to travel. You won't use the airports where they have the Nazi TSA. The TSA would last about 2 weeks. If everybody in America said, I'm not flying, and the airlines can go out of business to get rid of the Nazis out of the airport that are molesting us and doing nothing.
Right.
I'm saying there have to be actions like this, and in America, we have fantastic means to do this. The other countries are doing it, but they don't have what we have. And,
well,
and I've heard people
frankly,
from other countries say that Americans aren't doing anything. We don't have to because we have all these things in place, if people will use them.
Right, and let me just interject. I think we were always frustrated for a long time that what would it take to wake people up? And frankly, I think this whole lockdown, the reset, you know, what happened with COVID, and researchers getting that information out in a huge way, I don't think we know, there's anyone out there that's an American that hasn't been affected by the sickness called COVID or by someone that died from the shot or is sick from the shot or totally you can't even talk to them because it's like they're something's taken over their mind. I mean, I know people, they say, I could tell someone from my past whether they had the shot or not because they act totally different.
There's a lot of that seems to be happening, and people are acting like really maliciously and bizarrely. All these weird things of people, there's a new fad of people pushing people on the subway tracks where people have been killed. There's been 26 of them that just happened in the last several months in New York, and just all kinds of weird behavior, you know, violent, you know, it, almost like I'm saying almost, but I think a lot of times people are demonically possessed. And there's weird things of people seeing they're looking up and twirling around and like they're fighting something and suddenly they collapse and die. And that's being seen worldwide. So I'm not going to put a label on all this. I'm just saying people are waking up because all these weird things are happening. All these things in the heavens suddenly appear, such as the shootdown of that probably deep state craft over all those states. How could people miss that? There's all these prophecies being fulfilled. Water is literally coming out of the desert in Arabia. The desert shall bloom like the rose. That's one of the ancient prophecies. It's happening. So people, if they want to be in cranial rectal fusion, I guess they can continue in it. But after a certain point, there's got to be a cognitive dissonance. And I'll say, if people will wake up enough and be willing to work together instead of always being victims and fighting each other and backbiting and all this childish nonsense, there's many things that have been developed in the energy, in healing, in governance. There's all kinds of innovations we could be availing ourselves of that we've had systemic parasites in our bodies and in the body politic, they've blocked the implementation of these things that have been around for hundreds of years, even. Not all of it. Some of it's more recent. But there's all these things in governance. There's all these innovations. I keep a file of all these innovations. I've got a lot of it. I know how a lot of this stuff could be done just from my own research. And I've instituted some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was very young, for example, there wasn't anything to help women who were being, you know, who were domestic violence victims and their children. And when I was a young woman, I was in my early 20s, I've been implementing solutions like this. I was part of the the wave that founded the battered women shelters and family shelters. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this since I was, you know, in my teens. And it's not a perfect solution. It didn't totally solve the problem, but at least it stopped a lot of women and children from being killed.
Mm-hmm.
And just the peace movements that have come and gone, the 9/11, which is still, I mean, it's been corrupted to some degree, but it's still alive to some degree. And I've worked with all these different movements, and finally, it's having an effect. People are waking up, but I know it's messy. It doesn't look like it. It's not everybody's going to survive because they made choices they decided certain things, and there's a number of things I'm talking about when I'm saying this. But it's got to happen. People have to learn how to use free will. If you let the infant keep putting their hand in the fire, you know, they're going to get burned.
Well,
go ahead.
So do you want to take any phone calls? I mean, we certainly could open up the caller line. So
yeah, if people would.
Yeah. So I mean, sure. we definitely realize we have this problem, but I mean, people are being forced to get off their duff and get involved. So it's 512-248-8252. If you have a comment or a question, please feel free to call. That's 512-248-8252. So, yeah, we've had this issue for a while, Rebecca, but to me, it's getting a lot better. We have all kinds of people involved here, you know, from, you know, wanting to correct their – we have Roger Sales on the RBN, and he talks about how important it is to correct your status. There's people networking, trying to, create a new government. That's the Audubon Wright stuff. But there are people that are waking up and realizing that we have an illegitimate city, county, state, and federal government. That's basically illegitimate because there are, you know, it's a corporate overlay. So we do get that. So we have a caller. Are you ready to take one?
Okay, good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Welcome, Jenna. Or is it Jenna or Brian?
Yes.
It's Jenna, right? Hi, Jenna.
Hi, it is Jenna. Hi, Rebecca. Thanks for coming
on
the show.
I know Jenna. She lives in Olympia.
Yeah. And yes. Washington State and Nikki Rapana, she was asked all along, how are they going to do it? How are they going to do it? How are they going to take it over? And once COVID hit, she's like, this is how they're doing it. And
right.
As far as the communitarian shame factor and how people have been coerced this far.
Right.
Yeah. What is your opinion, Rebecca, on the communitarian aspect of our problem?
With these cult type things, COVID, climate, you know, et cetera, that's essentially a communitarian cult. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. And standing up as sovereigns is an antithesis to that. And people
Absolutely.
Can work together in networks. That doesn't necessarily mean they're and the NL is an example of this. It's not like a class action suit. You don't have to join an organization or, you know, be communitarian. You just have to come together as sovereigns, and you each do your own action, for example. So that's an example of cooperation, but that's not, you know, becoming I'm saying, from what I know of Jenna and Brian, communitarian implies communist, socialist, where there's it's forced. It's not voluntary. Or it's manipulated.
Actually not. It's not really forced. It sounds so good that everyone wants to do it because you're doing it for the greater good. We heard that over and over again. You know, that was part of the COVID narrative. You know, everything
right.
for the greater good, and you know,
right.
we're all in this together. It's these kind of buzzwords because it makes everyone feel warm and fuzzy that we're in a movement that's larger than just our sovereign, protecting our sovereign selves. You know, this is what, you know, capitalism is bad because, you know, it focuses on individual liberty and how important that is. So this is the counter to that.
Yeah, but communitarian is not, I could be wrong, I mean, there are probably exceptions to this, but communitarianism, it is communism and socialism and these things that haven't worked, and that they keep pushing, they're known for not being particularly spiritual. And sovereignty has everything to do with spirituality, if you're truly sovereign and spiritually mature, because you see that you're a part of the Creator.
Okay.
And you're a... go ahead.
There's a lot of communitarian, you know, I'm just, believe me, there's a lot of people that are into meditating and Buddhism, and they're totally sucked into communitarianism. I mean, and Jenna would agree with that. I mean, I see it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah. I kind
right,
of feel
so it
that
depends
the...
on how you're using the word. It gets batted around, and personally, I prefer that you, people be specific and say, and you've got the intentional communities that I have worked with in the remote past. And those people were, I can assure you, they were a lot of them were capitalists and entrepreneurs that belonged to it in co-housing and that sort of thing, and they weren't into becoming communists and socialists, and some of the communitarians are voluntary, and it's more like the monastic, and I was in a spiritual order, an esoteric Christian order, where it was communitarian, but it wasn't, and it was hierarchical, but they definitely were not into becoming communists. And total dictatorship. In fact, they ordained women before anybody else did. It was married. It was a married order, etc. So there's degrees of this. But if the communitarianism becomes authoritarian, that's where you have a problem. And unfortunately, a lot of this has been, they use words just like they do in law, and they confuse people. And then people are not properly using their own discernment to figure out what's a scam, where they're being led down the wrong path towards authoritarianism. And all this stuff needs to be parsed out. People need to develop more. It's part of being mature is to see and use discernment and your own intuition. That doesn't sound right. That person is weird. There's something off about what they're saying. People have to start using more of themselves and being willing to put more of themselves on the line as sovereign beings to work with other sovereign beings voluntarily, like they did in early America, where they had voluntary associations.
Right.
Like the Tokyo.
Once there's a public-private partnership, once there's ESG compliance, once the 501c3, once it's registered with a government factor, it becomes inherently, because those buzzwords, the resilient, the equity, the
right.
justice, all of those buzzwords seem to indicate when it is a communitarian construct.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, I have to agree with Jenna, Rebecca. It's actually a huge issue. I mean, I'm just saying the way it was so obvious the way they were doing the whole COVID thing. And some of these spiritual people, whether it was a Catholic church, I mean, these people fell for it hook, line, and sinker because the whole idea of putting a different face on communism or socialism, it's the evolution of communism, socialism, to get everyone to participate for the greater good. This is the climate change. Everything is, you know, to do a propaganda snowball that get everyone
right.
doing it together. This is a smart feed. Right now, I mean, you can hardly do anything in this world unless you have a smartphone. Have you noticed they're constantly requiring this, that, and the other, and we'll text you, and you know, it's I've never seen it quite this bad, where I have to stand up for my right just to have a landline, and then I actually do have a smartphone, and I keep it in the car, but they really push me to give it out to a couple people. Now it's like it's literally public knowledge. But with these corporations, you know, we're talking utilities and like that, they seem to know my phone number to my phone that's in my car. It's like,
right.
wow, talk about no privacy. But they want to normalize this, that everyone is going to get hooked up to the Internet of Things through their bodies and through their phones. But it's all for the greater good.
So we have to use discernment, and the idea of the NL, for example, you're standing up as sovereigns with other sovereigns, and you're going after them on this corporate basis, which Jenna was just mentioning. I mentioned earlier in the show that they all have Dun and Bradstreet corporate code numbers. They're corporations masquerading as governments. You can nail them on that. That's their weak. They think it's their strength, but it's their weakness as far as the NL process is concerned. Because that's what you go after. It's like a target that on their back that you use, and it's very powerful when you use it. in a very conscious,
sure
way.
I did want to ask Rebecca one more question. Is anyone going after Inslee here in Washington State?
They already did. One, they did a short form of the NL in the form of affidavits. 36,000 people signed affidavits dealing with election fraud and with, what was the other? Oh, medical martial law under Inslee that was the long COVID, you might call, under Inslee, under J-Dolph, as I lovingly call him. And they called him on it, and it did make some changes. He, for example, and I laugh at this, he's ending the 2.5 year or whatever it is medical martial law here in Washington State. It's about the last state that still has this crap, and he's doing it on Halloween in a couple days. So you can see where he's coming from.
Oh, wow.
As you, if you follow that it's a satanic holiday, you kind of get where he's coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
anyway,
thanks.
Yeah, they're... You're welcome.
Okay. So do you have another question, Jenna?
Well, I did send an email inviting Rebecca to a biochar demonstration burn tomorrow, and I hope you do come up if you can.
Are you, can I ask you, are you having any others?
Are we having any other people coming to the biochar demonstration?
No. Are you having any of these demonstrations here in Olympia area in the next month or two?
Well, we have one tomorrow, and I invite you.
Because, okay, I have these things in my life that I can't change, and I've got to get them done, or there's going to be some problems. But I would like to come to one, yes, if you can.
Okay,
if I can come
we'll keep you in
time.
Mind for the next one. Thank you so much.
I would like to. I've told you I've wanted to come for some time, so I'd be glad to come.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well,
thank
Ingrid.
You. Okay. Thank you, Jenna. I really appreciate you and Brian. And, yeah, the biochar is actually really important. And I'm really glad that Brian and Jenna keep bringing that up because here, you know, where Rebecca and her are, there is a lot of growth, and they're constantly having to deal with taking, you know, brush out. I mean, it's like a jungle. And that all that stuff can be used to rebuild the soil because, you know, these plants, these trees are growing. They're taking all these nutrients, and it needs to go back into the soil. And the biochar is a wonderful way of preserving the ecology of that whole area of Olympia and still keeping
it. Certainly beats biosludge.
Oh, absolutely. It's an amazing tool.
Definitely.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Thanks. I'm gonna
thank
hang
you.
Up. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, Jenna.
Thanks.
Okay, so, so we only have, you know, basically less than 5 minutes. So how do you want to end this hour? Because I think there's a lot that can be said, of course, about everything going on. I'm frankly excited about, you know, the next couple months other than the next false flag that's, you know, ramping up. But, you know, other than that, I'm thinking where we've turned a big corner and things are we're going to start seeing, you know, the backdrop of what's been going on.
It's like Jesus said, that which is about the last days, that which is hidden in closets shall be proclaimed from the mountaintops or the housetops. And he's, it's happening. It's happening right now.
It is.
I mean, you all around us, you can see it. It's not. And now it isn't. You know, because that was an ancient saying. But if you update it, it's on television. It's on Twitter. I mean, it's coming at us through our neighbors. I mean, there's just so much information to be had. It's been let loose. It was in the book of Daniel too. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased.
Right.
That's huge. It's happening right now. It's being fulfilled. That exactly describes what's happening right now, written a number of thousands of years ago.
Right. Everything seems to be coming to a head at this point. And so, you know, people are always trying to predict, you know, so what if we get rid of Biden, so what's going to happen? I mean, you know, people are always trying to, you know, figure out, well, if we get rid of this whole Democrat, Biden, fake presidency and everything, are they going to have a new election? Are we going to wait for 2024? I mean, this is, you know, basically our country is without any kind of leadership at all, because it's all already be arrested, it seems to me.
I'm true angry, and one of the things we've got to get over is somebody, we're sovereign beings, I'm sorry, these people, that these farcical people in these ramshackle roundhouses, as I call state houses, in banana republics, such as what we have become, they don't represent me. I'm a sovereign, and I want to represent myself. And we have the tools, and if we had something, use the smartphones or something allied to it in an honest way, without the systemic parasites constantly interfering and distorting what we're doing, we could have had this over 30 years ago, where we had an device like a smartphone. I was talking to some other, you know, visionaries in the early 90s, and we actually did have the technology, but it wasn't released to the public then. It was just starting at that point with the early cell phones. And I said people could have something similar to a cell phone, and they would be able in real time to vote on an issue. They put the issue there, and everybody votes in real time without distortion on the issue as representing themselves, and you don't need all these people, quote, representing them. And we've got the technology. We don't have the political will, and we don't have the political honesty and maturity to do it yet, but we already can do this. You asked for a solution. I'm giving you an example of one of the many solutions that presently exist, but they've been suppressed or destroyed.
Right, and I understand. I'm just saying, you know, I think the reason I even asked it that way is I think a lot of people are really, you know, not ready for self-governance and sovereignty. And they're going, you know, how many people are dependent on a government check or, you know, the grocery stores, all those kinds of things. I mean, it does take some organization to have food delivered in trucks, especially if the diesel's going to be, we're not going to have any. You know, I mean, it's all those kind of things that people feel a little bit anxious and a little bit up in the air. So I just, that was kind of...
But there's other systems in place, and I'm aware of what they are, because I knew about them many years ago. And these are, I've studied them. They exist. The Native Americans had, Iroquois particularly, had systems in place, and they advised the Continental Congress. They were at the Continental Congress advising on the Constitution, which is modeled on it. The tribes, the ancient tribes, have actually more advanced governance than what we have with the so-called Founding Fathers, because the Founding Fathers left out, like, women. They left out people of other races. They left slavery in, and the Iroquois didn't even have that. So if we go to a gift economy and we go to actual direct governance, such as, and the women elders had equal power with the male warrior leaders, war leaders, whatever you want, war chiefs, I guess they were called. So if you get to these things and go back, sometimes you have to go back in history and then reiterate it for the present. We have the solutions.
Okay, well, thank you. We're at the end of the show. Thank you so much, Rebecca. I appreciate you sharing, and the listeners did too. So thank you so much. I hope to have you on again. Okay, have a wonderful evening. God
thank
bless
you.
Thank
you very much, Andrew.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.